So this practice here, we call ordinary Zen, but that's just the label. Zen is before thought. Originally, our nature is pure and undefiled. This original nature is always present. It's the source of the loving kindness, compassion, intuition, insight. Most people don't recognize that there's something other than their thinking, their impressions that come from their perceptions. This all comes from an identification with an idea that's been perpetuated over time, that somehow there's something that's separate from everything else. I. We say, I see, I hear. But actually, you see and hear before you say I. I is something you add to it. So in our practice, we're undoing this identification. Now, we're not trying to stop thinking. We're not trying to get somewhere. We're being right here, right now, just as it is. But just as it is, you see, is our Buddha nature, is our original nature. But there's some work we have to do as a personality, as an ego, to get through our own identification with how we perceive the world so that we can be free and not held down or closed in, if you will, by our ideas of how things are. So even the most hardened ego cracks, and the light of wisdom from our original nature shines through. So we're really fortunate to have discovered this practice where we can see this for ourselves. We don't have to identify with our thinking, with our emotional states. Yes, we have them. Yes, things come and go. Everything changes, and we have to deal with that. But when you're not identified strongly with your impressions that come from these perceptions that are skewed, they're not actual, they're not real perceptions of what is actually happening until your mind is clear like space. Now, one of the ways that can help you to in your everyday life is don't know. When you come across something and you very strongly identify and grab onto it, there's a kind of thinking that you know. But if you don't know, then you're letting go and you're not grasping. And then you can see it for what it is. And then you can do whatever you want with it. And you have the freedom to act the way you need to act. There's basically three aspects to our practice. One is like precepts or ethical conduct, meditation, and wisdom. You could start at any one of these and end up in the same place. Ethical conduct isn't something that you lay on yourself. Now, some of us have to practice outwardly. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't drink, you know, all these precepts. But when you're in touch with your original nature, this natural loving kindness, you can't be lying and have loving kindness. If you are in touch with your original nature, it is natural. There's no effort. That pureness of your being is already coming through and manifesting. So whether you start because you have a big, thick ego and you're doing a lot of damage to yourself and people around you, and you realize you have to change your life. So you come to this practice and you have a lot of work to do to break through so the cracks can open wider and the light can come in. Doesn't matter. You know, Buddha used to teach that there are four different kinds of people. One is like a racehorse that you barely have to give it a thought and it already takes off. Another one is a little more stubborn and you have to get it with a whip, just to barely touch it and it takes off. Third one is you have to give it a good smack to get it going. Fourth one is you got to really whack them. You know, I think Buddha was describing that sort of the thickness of our walls of ego, personality that we have built around ourselves that keep us from seeing things as they actually are. The fundamental thing that gets in our way of being free, having a good life, contributing without causing suffering is this identification with this idea of self. Essentially, Buddha taught non-arising. Non-arising is no self. In our practice, when we sit and meditate, eventually those cracks become bigger and the light of our being is there enough that we have the confidence to keep going, to continue with it and see where it goes. And then we can be amazed by the magnificence of life and not feel burdened by it. So life doesn't have to be a burden, although it is. There's always these contradictions in Buddhist practice. It is and it isn't. So those are the sort of fundamental things that I think about when I think about what it is we do here and why we come together and why we sit. It's to understand ourselves, which means recognizing our Buddha nature, our original nature. Eventually. Thank you, Michelle, for making the effort to come tonight. Any questions, comments?
I have a couple of things that have been rolling around my head, and I guess they both relate to maintaining and advancing practice. And the first is the role of great faith in maintaining a practice. And the second one, which may sound a little strange, is the potential role of tantra in advancing a practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the first one, great faith, comes from what I was just talking about. That crack where the light is coming in. That's where the great faith comes from, because you're, as you practice, you begin to recognize and have faith in this is in fact how it is. It's an interesting thing. I love this whole thing around great faith, because when I look over my life and I look what has brought me to this, faith in my Buddha nature, faith in this something here beyond what I think it is, beyond my struggles and inability to understand, there's something greater and broader and bigger than what I think. This mystery, what is this? You know, asking that question, what is this? That leads to great faith, because you start to recognize there is something greater than my idea of what it is, because my ideas have always been wrong. Over and over again, mistake after mistake after mistake. And then there are people in my life and points in my life where this message, the truth of what Buddha taught, just came through. Maybe not as a Buddhist teaching necessarily, but as a understanding of something is going on here that's larger than what I think it is, bigger than who I am. And so that great faith just kind of builds, because you already have it. You know, we say we are already Buddhas. We just don't recognize it. We just don't know it. Mind, what we call mind, heart mind, it's universal. It's something that you don't own, I don't own, but we share. Whatever's hanging you up seems so insignificant to, what is this? What is this? What am I feeling here? What am I experiencing here that's so beyond my limited understanding? It's a mind field, if you will, that is equanimity, is another way of presenting it. What is the equanimity in life? What is it that is equal everywhere? It's beyond thinking. It's before thought. And that's just something that you gain as that crack opens and that light of your true nature can come in. It's a great subject. The longer I practice, the more respect I have for Buddha's original teachings and what he shared with the world, because it is so, on one level, profound, and on another level, just so natural and real and honest and ordinary, and it's undeniable. But see, people are so self-absorbed, so caught up in their little lives, that they don't open up to see that, unless something happens in their lives that shatters them, and the cracks are there, and then they seek Bodhi. They look for the truth, for the answers, and you know, they try to find some way of coping with what this experience of theirs of suffering in this world is. You know, the burden that they're carrying. I'm no different than anyone else. You know, I've had loss, I've had gain, I've had everything, you know, just like you guys, we all have. We all share it. It's okay. The other one, Tantra. Well, and it reminds me of other practices like yoga. These are all attempts to work with the energies, and that's fine. Now, the other thing that my root teacher, Gosanshin, used to say or has said to me, I remember getting up from sitting one morning and he looked at me and he said, sitting is the best exercise. Zen masters, they don't say things just sort of on the surface. This is before thought. This is a statement that was meant for me to use like a koan. So why is sitting the best exercise? Because in our practice, it's not denying anything. It's not adding anything, not taking anything away. It's totally in touch with this here, right now. All these other practices, Tantra, everything is attempting to get to the same place, right here. All this energy, all of it is present in this posture, in sitting in Zen, in your posture, in your breath, in where you focus your energy. It's all right there. It's all Tantra. It's all yoga. It's whatever label you want to put it on. It's all happening right there. Now, that doesn't mean that these other things aren't a good thing to do. Of course, you know, if you want to do Tai Chi or you have another martial art, I mean, all of that, all the arts, Zen has all these arts. You know, you have flower arranging, you have archery, kung fu, you know, all of these things are all about being present. And sitting is part of it. Sitting is part of all these other arts. Now, you can focus on different chakras or different energy points. You can study all of these, and that can be really useful to you and to others if that's your inclination. The whole healing field, you know, that's what this Tantra reminds me of. It's about healing and correcting the flow of energies and getting things to flow so that you are able to be free. Or you could just sit and experience it just as it is. It's all mind. Don't know. Just don't know.